would very welcome here. And some of you haven't been here for a while, and it's a blessing to have you with us too. And I want to look into the Word this morning. I've appreciated the sermons, the words from the Scripture, which are sermons, I guess, and the teaching we've heard from the Word thus far. And Brother Stan just got done the Scripture readings and the thoughts that he shared. They say a devotional period is to turn our thoughts toward God, and it certainly did that. The singing today has been wonderful. May God bless everyone for their participation in the service thus far. And may Jesus Christ receive all the honor and glory of anything that is said and done here today. My meditations this week have been centered primarily on church life. In the New Testament, we have several pictures of what the church is like and what can represent to us in our understanding what church really can be like, what represents the church. Most of us are aware that in Ephesians 5 and certain passages in the book of Revelation, we see that the church is the bride of Christ. That's an understood thing, at least in a measure. Apostle Paul says it's a mystery, and it was and as wise and understanding as Apostle Paul was, if it was a mystery to him, I imagine it's a mystery to most of us, including myself this morning. Still is a mystery how all that works and what it all will be like in time to come. However, there's also the Bible picture of the temple of the living God, that every person in the church composes a part of the temple, and God builds that temple with lively stones. Lively stones meaning that stones are alive, and giving also the idea that they grow. As they're a part of the temple, that person individually grows. And I don't understand how that works either. That's another mystery. However, as we think about those things, and we think about the temple of the living God, and us individually and collectively being part of that, there's a lot there that is interesting to study. But then we also think of the church being a body. Christ, the head of the body, and we just heard in the devotional where he is. He sitteth at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. He is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. But then the Scripture is very clear that we are members of the body. If we're believers, if we are part of a brotherhood here or somewhere else, if we are walking in Bible obedience, we are part of the body, members of the body. And the thoughts that are on my mind this morning are more related to this last point, and probably could easily develop the other themes in some other occasion. How every person in the body of Christ contributes to the function of the entire church, locally and universally. And I well admit to you this morning that there's a lot in this that I do not understand. How it is that one member of a given congregation, be that here or any other place where someone is walking in Bible obedience with Jesus as the Lord, and Jesus as their Lord and Master, how their contribution contributes to the local brotherhood, and how that relates then to the church at large. And yet the Bible says that that happens. How it happens, I don't understand, but there is a wise master builder, a wise planner who has those things in his perspective, and he places every member in the body as he will, as it pleases him. Those are things that are difficult for me to explain, but God knows what he is doing. So the title this morning and the focus of the message is Every Member, a Vital Part. If you want to put a hyphen between every member and a vital part, that's the way I wrote it. Every member, a vital part. And I plan to use the scripture this morning and just make comments from the passages that we have chosen. I invite you, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. As we think of every member, a vital part. And what I'd like to pull out from this passage is the way that the church, the way that the members get the gifts that God wants them to have. Every member has a gift. Every member has a contribution that they can make to the body that if they were to be absent, they do not make. And how is that dispatched? How does that become a reality? How does that happen that a member gets a gift and without them in the brotherhood, then there is something is missing? How does that happen? Just think about that as we read. Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a lot of teaching in these verses. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'd just like to pause there for a moment. There's given grace to every one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And my thoughts in this verse went to the fact that when Jesus was here, there was really nothing by way of miracles, by way of ministry, that he could not do. But as he went back to heaven, he left those gifts here, and we're going to soon see a bit more of that. And he dispatched those gifts through the Holy Spirit to people in one measure or another, so that the entirety of the ministry of the church, locally and universally, wherever the church of Jesus Christ exists, there is, in a measure, the gifts that Christ himself had. And that is beyond my feeble understanding. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when his work was finished, his brother Stan just told us about, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He was, as he predicted, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. As in being in the tomb. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He descended first and then ascended. And Brother Stan made it very clear to us where that is, at the right hand of the Father. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what reason? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, by whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see that God gives grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We see there that the gifts are given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, that every saint, every member, a vital part, become more and more like Jesus. As we sing in that song, more and more like Jesus I would ever be. My Savior who died for me. The idea of becoming more and more like Christ, growing in that perfection, in our character, in our spirit. And when we fail, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we grow in Him. And as one grows, others grow. And where one has victory, where they used to struggle, another, maybe in a different area, is growing where they were struggling. And the one that is stronger in one area compensates and helps the other one. And that the saints become more perfect. It doesn't mean that they're without mistake, but their desire in their heart is pure. Being more like Jesus. Closer to the Word, closer to one another. And then for the work of the ministry. And God, even in this audience this morning, has a lot of ministry. There's a lot of ministry represented here. The mothers and fathers, the parents, the school teachers, the ones who this afternoon go out and pass out tracts and talk to people and sing for the folks at Spring Creek Rehab. Ministry. Perfecting for the ministry. The one that God has called you to. It's not just what happens behind this piece of wood that I'm standing behind this morning. That's not the only ministry here. There's a lot more than that. The ministry that occurs as you walk into a business place, as you walk into a store to buy groceries, and the testimony that radiates out from your life. I just talked to a man on Friday. And he said, I saw so-and-so, and he described a vehicle that's sitting out here probably in the parking lot right now. And he said, I noticed the veiling that this lady was wearing, and I assumed that she might be part of your fellowship. Now, what makes that? That's, in its own way, is a ministry, because that quiet word that is said as that van drives past, and that sister is behind the wheel, and he noticed that. And made mention of that. Ministry. That sister has no idea that was going on. But think of it. Ministry. And then somehow the work of that ministry, whatever it is, whether it's reading a Bible story or a bedtime story, praying with a child before they go to bed, or taking that student who's having a hard day and telling him, I care about you, you're special, in spite of the hard day you're having. Whenever you see a young person that's having some struggles, you get up there and say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. Ministry, whatever that is, it helps to perfect the saints and edify the body. Build it up. Encourage. Make it better because of what Christ has done. Not because of who we are, but who Christ is. Because He's the head of the body. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Oneness in faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God, that I may know Him, Apostle Paul said. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto Him in His death. There's a lot there. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all have a lot of growing to do, don't we? A lot of perfecting God still wants to do in our lives. Then it makes a steadfastness. We don't want to go back to shadow living. Living in the shadows, seeing what we can get away with. Secretivism. Living on the sly. trying to sneak past with this and with that. Looking into deviant doctrines, things that take us away from the truth. We don't want to go there. But speak the truth in love so that we can grow in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then there's this whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, every member a vital part. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And love is something that's so important. The grace of Christ, which we started out with, back there at the beginning, verse 7, and down through, the grace of Christ dispatching through the Holy Spirit these gifts to individual members. And the ministry that's involved. And the body grows and grows and grows in love. In the likeness of Christ. Now, every member, a vital part. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Common verses here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So no, one member should not think, because I have this gift, because I do this for the church, I shouldn't think of myself more highly than the brother beside me who has a different gift. Never. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not all of us have the same strength of faith. It varies from person to person. It's not the same for us all. Some are stronger in one area than in another. Thinking soberly about myself, being honest with ourselves about our own needs, our own areas of weakness. It says here, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. The ministry varies, and yet collectively it works together. If we're in the body of Christ, walking in obedience to Him, regardless of our geographic location, not all members have the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Every member working with other members. Every member a vital part. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There's a lot said in verses 6 through 8. We have gifts, collectively, individually, according to that grace we read about back there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, according to the grace of Christ. It's given to us, each one. And then it names a few of them. Talks about prophecy here. And I didn't mention it in the passage in Ephesians 4, but the thing about the gifts that God gives to the church, it mentioned there apostles, then prophets. And I still wonder, in 2018, where we feel some of those things apply. Because apostles, most of us think of 12 of them. And I know that there are church groups that have a place in their administration for apostles. Basically, they are evangelists and church planters that move around, maybe for a period of time in different places, and help establish churches and give guidance to churches. I know that there is that among some. It's not among us that way. At least we don't call them that way. Other people feel that the apostles were strictly for the apostles' time. And where we feel that prophets fit in is part of what is kind of stays in oblivion to me. I'm not totally aware of where all that fits in. But I do know that in some places the prophecy is a synonym to the word preaching. Preaching of the word. I would be very open for any insights any of you have on those 2 points. Ministry, I've already talked about that. Let's wait on that. Maybe you're just a new member in the church. Maybe it's unclear to you as to where you fit in. Maybe you're just a new believer. But God has given you a gift, and someday the church will tap you on the shoulder and say, Sister so-and-so, we need you to help us with this. Would you be willing to do such? Brother so-and-so, you might be young yet, you're developing. And you will be called to something. Sometimes we need to wait on that ministry. Sometimes it's not very clear and obvious what that ministry is. But we can wait on that. The Bible says so. If God's called you to teach, then teach willingly and to the best of your ability. Do it. God's called you to exhort and encourage. There are those among us that can do that. They're an encouragement. It's a blessing to visit with them because they have a word of comfort, a word of blessing to share. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, not letting the right hand know what the other does. Sometimes giving in secret, where no one knows what was given, quietly giving. He that ruleth with diligence, if we have a position of authority in the home, in the workplace, do it for the honor and glory of God, in the church, do it with diligence, do it well, do it as well as you can. Be diligent at it. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. How do we think about that? When we have to do something to show mercy to somebody. I'm impressed again and again, this verse goes through my mind often. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, the high priest, the great high priest, speaking of the analogies from the Old Testament coming into Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. It teaches us there that he must have compassion on the ignorant. And I think about that when I think about showing mercy with cheerfulness. Without a condescending attitude, showing mercy. But show mercy like Jesus showed mercy. In the spirit of Christ, in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, do it with cheerfulness. There's a lot there, and a lot we didn't say. But I want to now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thinking about every member of Idle Park. And the gifts that every member has, and the necessity, locally and universally, that God has planned so that the body work together and supply the needs and perfect the work till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now we're getting into the part that has to do with our message this morning. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Where do the gifts come from? They come from God through the Holy Spirit. And there's diversities of gifts, and there's differences of administrations. There is differences in church government. Not every fellowship does everything the same. There is some variety. It says here that. In verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. There is conference government of church. There is individual church government. And some churches do it one way and others do it another way. There are differences of the way church life is carried out. There are congregations, biblical as they may be, that have a three-office ministry. Others prefer a two-office ministry and feel it's way more biblical. I'm not here to debate that, just to highlight the fact that there are differences in administration in different places of the body of Christ. And the way that church life is done, the practices in one congregation sometimes vary to another congregation. They might be biblical practices, they might be, but there is diversity in the body, geographically and otherwise. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The things that the Holy Spirit gives to each member, it should be so that the whole body is benefited by it. And there again, that whole thing of how one person in a given body of believers who is obedient to Christ, the disciple of Christ, how he can contribute to the larger picture, it's amazing. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. When Christ ascended to heaven, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He said, when not many days hence the Holy Spirit will descend and come upon you. And when the Spirit came, he gave gifts and still does, gives gifts to men. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many, but every member is a vital part. The body is one. And when we think about some of the divisions that occur, it's a sad thing. But I know that there are those who have gone out from biblical fellowships because they wanted to follow the world and didn't want to follow Jesus. I know that there is, the Bible still teaches, excommunication for those who become spiritually inactive and unwilling to listen to the voice of the brotherhood or unwilling to obey what the Bible teaches, unwilling to separate themselves from a life of sin. However, I'm amazed by what it says in verse 13. One Spirit, we're all baptized in one body, regardless of our nationality. Jews and Gentiles covers just about everybody out there. And people from any nationality who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, regardless of the color of their skin, can become part of that body, whether they be bond or free. And in New Testament times, there were people who were converted as slaves. That's what they were. And they needed to live that way. That was the only life they would ever have. There were people that were masters that had a lot of hired servants, or not even sometimes. And that's why the Bible gave clear teaching in Colossians chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 5, maybe chapter 6. It says, ye masters, and it tells them how to work with their workers. And those things have applications if we find ourselves in positions of authority in business, in business administration, how we should treat our employees and so on. With bond or free, they were still part of a brotherhood. There are those, I saw a picture yesterday, and it's probably very nominal Christian setting, but says the church is alive and well behind bars. Had a picture of inmates sitting in a large auditorium, possibly bigger than this one, each one of them with their prison uniform. It's all part of. There is bond and free. There are prisoners today who are serving Christ. Maybe they've committed crimes that put them behind bars, but in the prison, possibly, they came to know Jesus. Or maybe they went back to the God of their boyhood days, or their childhood days, because there's women in prison too. And maybe in prison they examined their ways and came back to know the Lord and renewed their vows to Him. And they can be part of the body of Christ just like any one of us. And God's the one that works those things out, and through His Holy Spirit. It's amazing. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. How are the members set? How are the members in the body put there? As it hath pleased God. And that's an amazing thing, how God sometimes even moves people geographically from one place to another. And sometimes you're in the middle of that and you say, how in the world did this ever happen? And yet there's a God in heaven who knew what He was doing the whole time and works it out. And sometimes you question God's doings. Sometimes it happens that way, but God sets the members in the body where it pleases Him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? No one in themselves has all the gifts. No one in themselves has all the capabilities. No one does. We need each other. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There's a lot being said in those verses. I work with a man who has two fingers missing. And he works, and I'm watching him put nuts and bolts in tight spots, and I say, how are you going to ever do that? But he, since approximately 7 years of age, has lived without two of his fingers. And he is able to do a lot with the three that he has left on his one hand. And I'm amazed at that. But if that man were missing other parts of his body, he would not be living. But he's able to live well without two fingers. He has for many years. And the way the body works together and compensates. Whenever you injure your big toe, something falls on it, ouch. Your whole body kind of watches out for that. You take it easy where you step and how you walk. You everything kind of caters to the part which hurts. But most of us, if we have a headache, about everything stops. If it's bad enough, we stop. There's parts of the body, whenever they're injured, we cater to it, whether it's a broken arm or whatever. But, the body works together and compensates. That there be no schism in the body. And there's care one for another. In your body, when something hurts, the rest of the body cares about the part that hurts. And that's the way it should be in the fellowship of believers. There should be a love and care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members be honored, rejoice with it. Now we are part of the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Whenever we care one for another, brethren and sisters, there is care when a member's suffering. There is care for that person when he's suffering. 2 weeks ago, there was in another setting, another place, a minister who had gotten involved in something he shouldn't have. And they said that he came to the front of the auditorium to tell the membership what had happened. And he just barely began to say anything. And his head went down and he began to cry. It wasn't long till the co-minister was right up beside him. And it wasn't long after that that every man, member of the church, was around that brother in a huddle. There was a lot of tears shed there. The brother said he's sorry for what happened. He was suffering. It was sin in his own life. Yes, it was. But by the time that was over, he knew he had people around him that cared about him. He really, really, really knew that. But the same token, when there's rejoicing, when a young person comes to know the Lord, I love to see it whenever a father sends me a text and say, last night so-and-so gave their heart to Jesus. I've had the privilege of sending that kind of news around to the ministry. And the comments that come, we rejoice with you. We what a blessing, amen? Care one for another. When one member suffers, the other members suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And where all the workers of miracles are among us, I'm not totally sure. But I thought about that gifts of healing. You know what? The gifts of healing sometimes occur whenever you get up next to somebody who's struggling spiritually. And you pray with them and talk to them and share with them. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And that gift of healing, the church, wherever it is in great need of. Maybe that's the healing ministry that somebody here needs to be involved with. Maybe you're already in it. God bless you if you're in that type of healing ministry. There's a few practical points that I like to share in closing. Things that, as I think about every member, a vital part. Every member, a vital part. A few practical points to consider. If you think of yourself as being a member and a vital part of the body, how is your church attendance? How easy is it for us to say, you know what? I'm just not showing at church this morning. I know there's prayer meeting tonight, but I'm just not going to be there. And please, I will tell you flat out that last night at 7:30, I was helping somebody with some chores, and if we would have had revival services last night, maybe my schedule would have been totally different. But At that time of the evening, I was in no way, shape, or form ready to be at church. And those kind of things happen on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights in times when there's services. We know that. There's little mishaps that occur. And there's sometimes infirmities and sicknesses that keep us kind of close to our bedside, possibly. But church attendance. And how easy is it, because we're a family cabin, just to say, you know what? I'm not gonna go to church today. Church attendance. Is my part? Am I willing to do my part? So where we know that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so are missing this morning, but they were over there. That's a blessing. You don't have to all be at Providence on a Sunday morning. Obviously not. But where were you? What was your contribution to the body of Christ somewhere else? Church attendance, it's important. Number two, prayer for the church and for the leaders of the church. How much time have we as members spent praying this week for the church, for the members of the church and the ministry of the church? Our ministry as brethren and sisters, the ones that lead out in the work of the church, have we been praying for them? When's the last time we spent time in prayer for the church and its leaders? Number three, prayer for mission efforts. This afternoon, some young people and maybe some others will go out and do some mission work. Are we praying about that? Have we prayed about that this week or today yet? Mission efforts for the excommunicated and the lost. Have we spent time in prayer for them? Every member is a vital part. And that's at least one way that we can show our concern, our love, is by prayer for the mission efforts. Number four, willingness to serve in whatever. I was startled a few weeks ago whenever I heard about a lay brother who said he was asked for a Wednesday evening devotional. Now, what is 10 minutes or 15 minutes of standing behind a podium, reading a passage, making a few comments, and having a prayer afterwards? What is that? He said, you know, I'm not available for that this Wednesday. He said, I feel like I'm doing already too much for the church. And I say, really? Really? Doing too much for the church? And I think about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and what he gave for the church. Is any of us doing too much for the church? Willingness to serve in whatever. Maybe we can't do it. Maybe our time and schedule does not permit. But are we willing to do what we can for the church, locally or abroad if necessary? Number five, support for the positions and the standards of the church. Just imagine that everybody in the congregation would support the position and standards of the church like you do. What would that look like in given time and place? And that's what, again, what impressed me. That man I was talking to on Friday, he said, I kind of thought that that lady might be a member of the Pilgrim Conference. What identified that? What made him think that? Because she was being a testimony by her appearance that identified her as being such. Support in giving. Here again is an area where there is tremendous variety. The Bible speaks, Jesus spoke very highly of the widow who gave two mites. Jesus said she cast in all her living. And Jesus admired that. Jesus held that forth as exemplary. He also said there was those who gave from their abundance. But how is our giving? Every member, a vital part. How is our giving? I think we got to remember, we are supposed to give as God hath prospered. any one of us, because our giving is important. Preparation, number 7, for worship and contribution to the work. Maybe we need to wait on our ministry. Maybe we don't know what our ministry really is. Maybe we're new in the faith. But God has work for you. And sometimes we need to prepare ourselves by sitting in some more Sunday school classes, some more summer Bible school. Maybe we need to prepare ourselves for worship by getting adequate rest before we come to church. Maybe we need to prepare ourselves for worship by spending a bit more time on our knees before we come to church. But preparation for worship. Because every member is a vital part. And God has a ministry and perfecting to do in all of our lives. Let us do it for His honor and glory. Those who can, let's kneel for prayer.